Welcome to another episode of the biggest podcast where we sit down and chat and hang out with members of the One Bone fam who are just doing it in any way, shape, or form. Somebody who has been doing it for a minute is sitting right next to me, Quinn Everett. I want to talk about a lot of things on the podcast, but I want to start with your first experience with One Bone because I think that's a great way to kind of set us off into this podcast.
Totally. You want me to tell the story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I stumbled upon One Bone in early 2019. You guys, I think, had like four t-shirts. It was like a white, a black.
There was a burgundy.
A burgundy, a tan. Yeah.
And a gray.
And I think that summer you guys had just released like one color tank. Anyways, I saw them on Facebook ads and I was like, well, I don't know. Like, it's, you know, Facebook ad catered to me. It's like for big guys. But my experience with shirts up until that point was like
hopeless.
It was like the generic plain 3XL, too big, boxy. I was like, this is how I have to dress for the rest of my life, whatever. And then, you know, I was tempted to pull the trigger and then I didn't and I wasn't sure. And like, I didn't really find a return policy. You guys were super young. It was like, okay, well, I'll give them a bit and then we'll see where it goes. And then I kept getting them more and more and more. And then it was like December that year, my girlfriend at the time bought me a black scoop, maybe a pocket.
Yeah.
Either way, it was a black tee.
Black tee.
And I put it on.
The starter.
Yeah, the starter. We were pre-drinking at my place. We were going to go out. And she gave it to me and I opened it and I put it on and I was like a few beers deep at that point. And as soon as I put it on, looked in the mirror, I was like, hell yeah. And I went to the website and ordered like one of everything you had in my size, which again was like
four shirts.
Four colors. Yeah. And I got them and then loved them, but I like didn't want to wear them. They were like my nice shirts, right? They were the good shirts.
We all have the going out shirt, the house shirt,
the
work shirt. Yeah.
And I was nervous to wear them because they were so precious, right? And then I got more comfortable wearing them. And then I, you know, slowly phased out my closet and slowly phased in more One Bone. Yeah. And now my closet is like strictly One Bones and then like formal wear,
right?
Like suits.
Until we do it.
Yeah, until you guys do it. Yeah. And then I've got some, you know, some like training gear and Team Canada stuff and stuff like that. But like what I wear Monday to Friday, day to day, is One Bone. Yeah.
And you mentioned training gear, and I think that's a great segue to just talk about, you know, what you have been going through for the past how many years of your life?
So I started in 2015.
Training powerlifting.
It's weightlifting.
Weightlifting.
So similar. It's like
powerlifting is more the like powerlifting, the boulders and stuff. Or?
No, that's strongman.
Okay.
So powerlifting is squat, bench, deadlift.
Okay.
Weightlifting is snatch, clean and jerk.
Okay.
And then strongman is like lifting cars. And
boulders. And stuff. Have you ever done any of that?
A little bit with football training, but like nothing crazy.
Yet. Yeah. So you've been weightlifting. Talk to me about how you got into weightlifting, and then we'll get into where you're at now.
So I played football growing up. I played in university, did 5 years at Mount Allison in New Brunswick. And then
what position?
Played defensive line.
Okay.
And then I actually got drafted by Winnipeg in 2014 and played a year and a half. It wasn't really much of a career. I was like on the practice roster.
Right.
But they switched me to O-line. I played center and guard. And then I got cut because I didn't make the transition very well.
Yeah.
And then this whole thing I like dedicated my life to. I was like, it's gone. Just like that.
Yeah.
Right? Two guys in the boardroom cut me and I was like, oh, now what?
Oh my God.
So I tried to get a real job. I had like a commerce degree. So I got like,
I love how it's always called a real job.
I know.
Like as though football or whatever.
Football is like a fantasy job.
Yeah.
By the way, we got AP on the mic
behind
the camera.
Yeah. So I got it like a real job, which was like a marketing job for a startup.
Yeah.
And I always kind of liked the idea of training for football more than I actually liked football.
Okay.
But I never
I feel like that's rare.
Yeah. I didn't want
you're to. You're that kind of maniac.
Yeah. I'm that weird guy. Yeah. Would rather be in the weight room than on the field.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to admit it to myself while I was playing football because it felt like I was kind of doing it backwards.
Right.
So I got a job. And I wanted to get into weightlifting or powerlifting or some sort of strength sport. And I just kind of said, whatever one finds me first, I'll do.
Yeah.
And my first day at my new job, there was a guy wearing a Nova Scotia weightlifting shirt. And I went up to him and was like, man, take me to your gym. Like,
Yeah.
So he took me, and that's when I met my old coach, and then that was in 2015, and then, you know, here we are.
Here we are. And yeah. And so we, you had messaged us, I think it's maybe about 3 years ago.
Yep.
And you know, sort of explained the kind of journey you were on, and the journey you were on was?
Trying to go to the Olympics.
Trying to go to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of give a behind the scenes of what went down, because even like last week, AP and a few other members of the One Bone team went to Toronto, and they went to Caribana, and yeah. I want, or Caribbean. It's what
I think it's Caribbean Toronto Festival.
Okay,
now.
Cool. Yeah.
Caribana.
So yeah. I want to talk about this because I think that this is an important part of any kind of process. And I bring this up because he put together like a whole pitch deck basically on like why this would be a good thing for us to go to, et cetera. And you did the same thing with us. Mm-hmm. You had this whole pitch deck put together of like, this is the journey that I'm going on. This is how I need help, or this is what I'm trying to seek out. And I think that for people who are like trying to, you know, present or trying to get there, whether in business, whether in whatever, the idea of putting it all into a plan and showing it is super helpful. And for me, I saw that and I saw you reaching out, and it was like a no-brainer that you're on this journey of excellence. And what was clear, and I hope you understood it, I know you did, is that it didn't matter what the outcome was.
Mm-hmm.
The outcome was just the journey.
Totally.
You know, and so here we are now, and it's summer of 2023. You've been on this journey for, let's call it, 8 years now,
yep,
essentially. And you've gone through some knocks. You've gone through some hard times, some good times, whatever. And how is the journey of the Olympics going?
Yeah, so it's going, but not for me anymore.
Right.
You know, the quad leading up to the 2020 Olympics.
Yeah.
The goal for that was just to be eligible and see what it was like, because the qualification process is like years long, and it's in weightlifting, it's, you have to constantly compete, and it's tough because you have to travel. Like, traveling is fun, don't get me wrong, but yeah, when you're traveling
to compete
the other side of the world every 8 weeks,
yeah,
give or take, like it adds up, right?
Yeah.
So
also every atmosphere is different. Like, you're, yeah, playing, you're not playing on home turf.
No, you're not. Yeah. Never. And I mean, a good example was World Championships last year. We're in Colombia, in Bogota, which is like 9,000 feet elevation.
Right.
Like, I had a migraine for 3 days, yeah, when I got there, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the goal for the quad leading up to Tokyo, I knew I wasn't going to be good enough to go, but the idea was, let's go through the steps and see what it's like.
Yeah.
And it was tough. And I was eligible, but obviously wasn't good enough to go. So that was cool. And then it was like, okay, let's make an honest run. I want to make an honest run and try and do 24. Like, wow, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was in a place where I could go, like I was good enough to go based on the qualification process, based on who I was competing against in North and South America. Like, there was some really heavy hitters in the Tokyo quad that,
yeah,
were retired or got popped or weren't in the game anymore. And I felt like I have an honest shot. So going through the qualification process, had a good, I don't know, we'll call it first half of it. And then the world standard got increased. And then I had a few bad comps and then a few other things. And then I actually didn't make the world's team this year, which is a bummer because world is a mandatory competition for the Paris Olympic qualification. So if I don't do this, I'm not eligible.
Right.
So didn't make the team. I'm now officially not eligible for Paris, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it is what it is. If you're trying to be like the top 0.1% of the world statistically, someone else has to be the other 99.9%.
Yeah.
Right. So sometimes you don't make it, and that's part of it.
Listen, I think the learnings from this experience, in pursuing a career, I looking back, they always say it's easier to connect the dots looking back,
totally,
than looking forward, you know? And what I see is standout moments or the moments where the ultimate rejection happened, mm-hmm, or the ultimate loss happened, because if you're able to mentally flip that into a win somehow, everything happens for a reason. And to be able to come down to that level and rebuild on whatever energy you put out to achieve that loss and to turn it into a W, that's massive.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it's part of, like, I'm at peace with the whole thing too, right? Obviously, it's a bummer. Obviously, I wanted to go. And, like,
when did you find out?
A month ago. Yeah. It sucks, but it's part of sport. It's part of competing. It's part of anything. It's like, I'm at peace with it because I can look myself in the mirror and be like, I tried my absolute best. The gas tank is like empty. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not like, oh, I had, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, oh, if I had a not done that night, or if I had a, you know.
Not only that, but as you're going through this journey where for most it's a full-time job,
yeah,
you are also building a major business for yourself.
Yeah. So one thing people don't realize is, like, funding for sport isn't as, like, especially like Olympic sport, isn't as like heavy or as oomph as people think it is. There's really not as much, especially in weightlifting. And then in Canada, like in the States, there's tons of funding.
Right.
And in Canada, there's a very limited amount of funding. And then you're competing against teammates for funding, and then, you know, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. And there's certain formulas they use to compare weight classes, and sometimes they favor other classes, or they favor male or female, and there's a lot that goes into it. So I am, for the most part, like 95% self-funded, right? And then I get some sponsorship, and that's what we were talking about before with the sponsorship deck. And I reach out to, like, companies I love, companies that, local businesses, anyone that I... And like, hey, I'm trying to do this.
Of course.
Like, I don't want to take out a mortgage to
fly
to Argentina to compete. Like, you know.
And these are people you're already, or companies or brands you're already affiliated with in some way, shape, or form, or have a connection with. And again, like, it's that kind of authentic thing. You know, when people see an ad from One Bone or somebody talking about One Bone, they're all organic relationships that, like, are forged and we push forward, and that was the exact relationship between us.
Absolutely. And it's funny you say that, because when I was reaching out, this was the end of 2020, I was really making a push in sponsorship because I was realizing how expensive this is, right? And my thought was, I have to do a couple years out of pocket to kind of, like, prove I'm doing this with or without you.
Right.
And if you want to join, I would love it, but this is going to continue to happen. And I'm going to continue to use your service or shop at your store, regardless if you help me or not.
Yeah.
Like, this is just, there's absolutely no pressure.
It's a cherry on top.
Exactly. And I was actually didn't want to reach out to you guys to ask for a sponsorship, because I was just glad you existed.
Of course.
I was just happy you existed. And I was like, man, I don't want to ruin this. I don't want them to turn out to be like dicks or like anything. I just want to wear the shirts and feel good wearing the shirts and be happy they exist.
Yeah, you don't want to pull the curtain from the Wizard of Oz.
Exactly, like, oh,
this
right?
This guy's fucking suck.
Yeah, these guys suck. These guys are dick. And I was nervous. So I didn't want to reach out.
I get it.
And
I
then,
get it a lot.
Yeah, and I was like, man, I don't want to ruin a good thing. Yeah. Like, I just love buying the shirts and then wearing them, and then that's it. And then... some of my friends were like, no, reach out, man. It's like, you're the perfect guy.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, like, everything makes sense. And I was like, but I don't want to ruin it.
I know.
Like, I'm nervous. So
I feel like for most of our customers, if they had the ability, like, and this is what we're always trying to do with the website, with our communications, with our content, we're trying to expose who we really are as much as possible. Because if everyone had the opportunity to just sit and chill with us, then they'd know, like, yo, try the shirt. If you like it, great. If you don't, send it back. We want to make sure to get your perfect fit. And if you don't get your perfect fit, yo, cool. We appreciate you trying us out. Let's still be bros. Let's, you know, like,
it's no hard feelings.
It's so not personal. It's like, what we've established is that we've come up with something that obviously is a game changer for many people who try it.
Yeah,
you know,
big time.
Most people who try it. And we just want to be able to do that more and more with as many people as possible. But it's easier when you're able to communicate that, you know, to
totally.
And another reason why we're sitting down and chilling and ripping these podcasts, because, like, it's just a vibe. And we were having this kind of exact same conversation off the mic.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally, like, if I had the opportunity to be a fly on the wall in that conversation, I'd be so pumped to hear this business talking with this business owner and also this guy who's trying to chase an Olympic career. And, like, I would benefit so much from that, and this is why we started to do the podcast.
Totally. No, it makes sense. And again, like, it's hard because everything, almost everything in the digital world seems like digital world seems fictional or seems forced or seems staged. Yeah. So when you're actually authentic, everyone's skeptical, right? It was the same way that when I saw the One Bone ads in 2019, I was like, I don't know. Yeah. It's probably just an oversized t-shirt, right? But it's like, it's not. It's actually genuine. It's like tapered a certain way, like sleeves are tight, scoop, blah, 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 right? It's the same thing when I'm sure people see these podcasts or see clips.
Yeah.
It's like, all these guys are just trying to like act cool and friendly and don't actually like each other. And they're actually dicks. They just want to sell shirts. It's like,
we're so good at acting cool.
Yeah. It's like, well, yes, the business model is technically to sell shirts, but we can also be nice guys.
They can happen
at the same time.
And not only that, but if you really break down the business model, where it started was just custom making my own shirts so I could look and feel good personally. I had never intended to turn this into a business until I was with my now business partners, and they were like, yo, this is a business. You got to help more people. And here we are, you know, 5 years later.
Totally.
It's sick. Yeah. So let's talk about the shirts. Let's talk about the clothing for a second. You know, what was your clothing life like before One Bone, and how has it impacted you since rocking One Bone?
So I, my wardrobe, I say, before I started wearing One Bone, I dressed like an oversized 8-year-old. Right? So if you're a big guy, you know, you walk into a mall and you can confidently say that nothing in that store will fit me.
Yep.
Nothing in that store will fit me. You can order it in. Cool. It'll be here in 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll try it on then and it won't fit. Cool. Right.
For the listeners, like what's your stats? What size are you and what kind of shirt would you look for?
Sure. So I am 6'3". Current body weight is probably like 315, 320. Mm-hmm. And I wore 3XL. So I was kind of in between 2XL and 3XL. Yeah. 2XL, if it was a bigger 2XL, it was what I call like a date shirt or a bar shirt, you know? And then the 3XL was like an everyday shirt. It was just baggy. It wasn't flattering. Like the 2XL was like at least a little snug.
Yeah.
But as soon as I washed it, it was like,
dead. Yeah.
Right? So I actually found a website where I could bulk order plain t-shirts for like 10 bucks a pop.
Okay.
Right? So I just ordered from this website. And that was what I wore. It was just like, it was like a wholesale website.
Yeah.
Just like blank.
That's the number one comment we get is like, why would I buy this shirt if I could buy a $10 shirt?
Yeah, right. So I would buy those $10 shirts. And I mean, they worked. Nothing about them was flattering, but I was like, I'm a big guy.
Yeah.
This is my reality.
Yep.
This is how it works.
Yep.
And that's, again, why I was skeptical to buy the One Bone, because I was like, I already get these shirts for 10 bucks.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, whatever. Exactly.
But turns out it wasn't the same shirt. It was way different. And my like aha moment that I'm sure like everyone has when they're trying a One Bone is like, holy shit, this is how a shirt is supposed to feel. Like this is how the average person feels when they put on clothes. Mm. This is mind blowing. Not like, oh yeah, it fits, cool. Next, right? I can go about my day, right? You put it on, you look in the mirror and you think, whoa, like I look good.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, it fits. It's I look good.
You know what's the craziest thing about what you said is you referred to like, an average person could go and the funny thing is that's the average person from fashion's perspective.
Yeah.
But we're the average person.
Yeah.
You know, in the States, the average waist size is 40.
Whoa,
you,
really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, like, so we're actually more the average, but we've always been treated as though we're not in the world of fashion.
Maybe in North America, definitely.
Well, listen, there's some big people in the Netherlands and, you know, even tons of people buying in Australia and Asia. True. I mean, well, Asia, there's a lot of smaller people as well. But what I'm saying is the average in North America, yes, is a bigger person.
I agree.
You know? Mm. So, okay, so you get One Bone, you try it on, and then I think another thing that I'd love to talk about is, you know, we talk about the shirt so frequently, but you know, we also have the winter jackets and the trench hoodie and the pants and the shorts. And I think, again, like the message that we're projecting on Facebook and ads and stuff like that is like the best fitting t-shirt. And then you uncover that there's clothing, you know?
And again, when I found One Bone, it was just t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like there was 4 shirts, but you guys have grown it. There's like, man, I lost count of how many colorways and what you have now. It's funny, I was walking in here with AP and I was like, oh, is this new? He was like, nah, that's old. I'm like, oh, I never saw this one. Like, this is sick, right?
That happens a lot.
Yeah. No, that's dead stock.
It's like,
what?
Yeah.
I never saw this.
Yeah.
So it's cool. You guys are coming up with so much. And now the pants and the shorts and the winter jacket I have, it's like, again, it's the best fitting winter jacket ever. I'm out in the cold a lot. I work in construction, so we're outside, and I've always just worn like the really big construction jackets. And again, they're baggy and warm and comfy. But to put on that as like a nicer jacket or a casual jacket, it's like, man, this fits good.
Yeah.
And I get a lot of compliments on it too.
It's
like the jacket, I get a lot of compliments on.
Yeah. When something fits well for you, and that's a lot of the compliments we get, is like it literally feels tailor made for your size. And that's what we tried to do very strategically, where the smaller sizes are a different pattern from the bigger sizes, where normally if people are accommodating to the bigger sizes, they're just taking that like medium size shirt and scaling it up.
Yeah.
Which is exactly the opposite of what we're doing.
Yeah.
I want to come back to the, you know, the moment that you got cut from football.
Yep.
The moment that you got cut or not got cut from Olympics, but essentially the same.
The qualification thing, yeah.
Which one stung more?
Football, for sure.
Football.
I was like 23,
right.
Maybe 24.
All your eggs were in that basket.
Yeah, like, man, I had just graduated. I moved up to Winnipeg, got drafted. I was like, this is my life now, right? Like, I am playing football. I made it to the show. I want to make it happen, right? And I was there, and I transitioned. I played D-line, but I got drafted as an O-lineman, and that was a way harder transition than I thought it would be.
Of course.
Right?
It's a totally different side of the brain that you're using.
It's a totally different ballgame.
Yeah.
And wasn't picking it up as quickly as I would have liked. And then Winnipeg was hosting the Grey Cup that year, and they had a really good O-line. They put a lot of money in the O-line that year. So I got cut.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking like, whoa, how could this have happened? And it was like they knock on your door. Like they say, like, you know, they have to have certain roster, like in training camp, they have to have certain levels of roster at certain dates in training camp. So you know when the cut dates are.
Yeah.
So I went to bed that night not thinking anything. And I woke up to a knock on my door, because you live in the dorms during training camp. And I got a knock on my door at like 5:30, 6 a.m. saying, Everett, bring your playbook. Coach wants to see you. And like, you know, you're getting cut when you hear that, right? So
you have already been cut.
Yeah. You get up, you get the playbook, you walk in, and it's like the coach and the GM, head coach and the GM sitting there, and they just kind of like tell you the news. They're like, sorry, man, like you're cut.
Yeah.
Like, good luck.
It's like Moneyball.
Yeah. Right? Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just like they give it to you straight.
Pull them and cut them.
There's no, like, you know, you don't want it sugarcoated. You know what's happening.
Yeah, of course.
So I got cut, and then I went back to Halifax, and I was kind of like lost, because I was like, my purpose is football. Right?
That's where I want to go, is you're done or you're cut from football.
Yeah.
You've put all your eggs in this basket. You've been competing essentially for this place. And then here you are, like the mental game that you're about to play. How does it go? What's the bright point? What's the dark point? You know, and how long are you sitting in each kind of thing?
So I was really bummed, because I felt like I still had a lot of gas, and we'll call it the athletic tank.
Yeah.
Like, gotcha. I still felt my athletic tank was full.
You were on a road to the Olympics, so obviously you had a lot more in the tank.
So I felt like I was like, man, I can't mail it in now. Like, I'm just getting started, right? I felt like I had so much more I wanted to do, so much more to give, and I was like, to retire from all sport at 23, 24, seems like a waste. Like, I don't want it. Not that I think I'm anything special, but I was like, man, I got more in the tank. Right?
All this power, you know what I mean? Like all this skill.
Yeah.
It's like what you do with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, so, and then I found, and then I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what sport to do. I don't know where I want to go, but like, there's something there. I want to do something.
So the mental game is literally just like, it's persistence, just not in the same direction.
Yeah, it's like, I want to do something athletic.
Yeah.
And I tried to get picked up by another team. And a lot of guys that were in my position would like live their life on the bubble. They'd be on a roster, off a roster.
Yeah.
And like a month here, a month there.
You weren't into that.
I was like, nah, man. Yeah. Like, if it doesn't happen, that's cool.
Yeah.
I gave myself to a certain point in that season to get picked up. And then that point came, and I called my agent. He was like, honestly, man, like, not a single call about you.
Right.
Right. Like, he's like, on paper, you just look like another guy that couldn't make the transition. I'm like, fair. Cool.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So I, like I said, I went and got
a
real
job. Imagine you just played D-line. You know, like, imagine you never had to do the transition. But again, I say imagine, you know, trepidatiously, because I believe that everything happens for a reason.
Totally.
And, you know, I guess in looking at that sort of mental game, I guess that's why this situation is a little bit different, is because number one, not all your eggs were in this basket. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a career. It was more passion.
Passion project, yeah.
And not only that, but differently from when you were 24 versus now you're
30. Maybe it was 22 or 23.
Whatever.
I was early 20s, yeah.
It doesn't matter. You still had stuff left in the tank from an athletic standpoint.
Absolutely.
Now?
No, I'm tired.
You've been fucking going for a long time.
Yeah. No, it's it's different, right? And like when I was playing football, that was I didn't have any responsibilities.
Yeah.
Like I just graduated. I was like earning a paycheck. I wasn't like trying to save or anything.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, you know, trying to set up a future. I was like football. And then with weightlifting, I don't get paid to weightlift.
Yeah.
Like I don't get funded. So everything was out of pocket.
Yeah.
Until you start to make a few teams. Then there's like a little bit of government funding, but even then it's pretty minimal. And then you look to sponsorship and like some of these trips are so expensive that when you fundraise, you pay for like half of one trip for the year.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like my goal was always to fundraise 50% and I'd be lucky, or 50% of what I needed for the year, and I'd be lucky if I could fundraise like 20%.
Right.
Right? It's tough. So I was doing all that. And in the process, I took over a family business.
Yeah.
So my father had a commercial contracting, like a waterproofing contracting company, and he wanted to retire for the second time. And I took it over in 2017, 2018. We transitioned for a few years and it was always a small company. It's like a couple guys, you know, it was good. And then construction in Halifax just like absolutely blew up. Like COVID happened and then everyone wanted to move to Nova Scotia. Like people were coming from Ontario, from Quebec, out west. Like the cost of living there was so much cheaper than everywhere else.
Yeah.
Everything was moved remote. So Nova Scotia blew up and it's still blowing up. Like there's a lot of people moving there. And with that comes infrastructure and building. So like as a byproduct, the waterproofing business like exploded, right? So trying to do that and trying to basically be a full-time athlete. It was a lot. I was burning the candle at both ends and then eventually just threw the candle in the fire.
Yeah.
So like, again, I am at peace with that because I feel like my athletic tank is like way more empty than it was when I was playing football.
You know,
right? And there's still some there. Like, absolutely, I'm going to compete for another year or two. But like, as far as...
You know you're on your victory lap.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
And I say victory lap because, again, any loss should be seen as a win. Like, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
You know? If you have a winner's mentality or if you're able to continuously reframe the portrait of what success is, if you're not able to do that, then it'll just be crippling, you know? And you'll be, again, like these moments, this to me is like the major kind of impact of like these stories that we're chatting about on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like these moments of either rejection or loss or grief or whatever, this is what defines, you know, somebody who is moving forward and progressing through life. If you're crippled by these situations, then you're paused. You know, you're not progressing. You're not moving forward. And that's the importance, I think, of the whole situation. It's to me, it's very admirable. It's again, like just based on the relationship that you've had with us and with One Bone, and like it's. We saw you at the beginning of this process, seeing you now, and your mentality has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been the same. It's the love of the process. It's, you know, get over, next hurdle.
Yeah.
Never stop. Now, I actually, like, I'm not training every day, I'll tell you that much, but I feel a weight off my shoulders for you because... You're trying to achieve something that is statistically unachievable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like if you look at the numbers, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, so the fact that you've come this far and your mentality is this, and you also were doing both, and it sucks because everyone in your 20s tells you can't dance at all the weddings.
Yeah.
And you can't do everything and be everywhere at once. And you can't work on video and photo and music and radio and this.
You could try, though. You could try.
Yeah, you could try all of it, but you can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that it's super important to try and do as many things as possible, because I think that you've got this window of time in your 20s where it's just this different energy, you know, where, and not to say that like the tanks are empty and we're in our, you know, 30s or mid 30s, whatever, but I think that there's this energy where you have to be trying as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And then what it inevitably does, you know, and I guess this is why it comes from the older generation, let's say, that you can't dance at all the weddings and you can't do everything at once and is because they're already on the other side of that energy.
Yeah.
They know that, and then also, do you want to own a house or do you want to start a family or do you want to do this or do you want... So like the opportunity to be doing many, many things, you end up starting to get focused. And my 20-year-old self would hate this guy, but I think it's important for my 20-year-old self to know this guy, because I would be like, do it, because there comes a time where you have to just focus on more like one thing.
Yeah. You know? If you had a time machine and you can go back to see the you that just got cut as you right now, what would you tell young?
Honestly, that's a good question, man. Yeah. I don't know if I would have told myself anything, because I feel like to go back in that time, I would do the exact same thing I did. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, try and make it happen. If it doesn't, like
pivot,
switch some, like, I want to do something athletic. Okay. I'll find something, do it. I want to do that. Like, I want to chase something. I want to, you know, I want to get after it. Right. I feel like I would just probably tell me, like, do it, you know, simple as that. Like, I don't know. It's a good question, but, I'm confident and happy with how the transition went and that I did this.
Yeah.
So like, I probably wouldn't try and steer in any direction other than the way that I was going at the time.
That's the way. No regrets.
Yeah. How was the transition from going from a team sport to like a sport where everything is on you?
Yeah. I loved it at first, because this might make me sound like a dick, but I felt like especially university, I feel like I worked harder than majority of the team. And I felt like I wanted everyone to work as hard as I did and be as invested as I was. And that's like not a realistic ask. Right. You know, not everyone's playing the sport for the same reasons. So I always wanted like a whole team of the people that were like, that would go into the weight room Saturday night after a loss instead of going to the bar. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, that's not realistic. And I loved the transition to single person sport because it was all me, right? Whatever I put in, I got out.
Yeah.
I didn't have to rely on anyone for anything. It was just me. Either I lifted it or I didn't, or I made it or I didn't. Right. And that was really, I guess, like
relieving
and kind of peaceful for me, because it was like, I can put
it's
in the
on
work.
You.
It's on me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I miss the team sport because I miss the brotherhood. Yeah. Right. And I, you know, if you have a bad day, the guy next to you can bail you out.
Yeah.
Or if you have a bad play, or if you have a really good day, you can bail out your boy.
Yeah.
Right. And that's something that I didn't realize I was going to miss until I missed it, is the brotherhood, the team environment. And I really miss that about team sports.
I think that even, you know, what's cool is like, even, you know, moving through elementary school, high school, university, you have your group of people that you could like depend on. It's a little community. And what's cool about you saying that and missing the team sport is I think that is the relatable thing that's connecting a lot of people through One Bone.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, it's kind of become this new team. It's not a sport, but we're just looking good, you know, but like, I think that so many people through One Bone have been connecting and either working on business things or just meeting up and chilling or whatever. And it's cool to see that it's growing into this thing, because I grew up, you know, in summer camp as well, and grew up playing football. And honestly, that was the thing that I missed the most, was the camaraderie and the peoplehood and the brotherhood, you know? And and that's what I feel is like happening now through One Bone.
Totally. It's funny you say that, because I can recall multiple times where like I'm in a different province or I'm in a city or something, and I see someone wearing a One Bone. Yeah. Just like, we're going out to dinner or something, or I'm I don't know. A good example is in Moncton.
Yeah.
We drove up for a concert, and we were just waiting in line, and there was a guy that walked by and he was wearing a black One Bone. And I just got caught eyes with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, One Bone. And he looked at me and he looked down and saw the biggest tag.
Yeah.
And he was like, One Bone. And we just kind of like fist bumped and he kept walking.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And there was another time where I was flying Halifax to Montreal or Toronto and then somewhere else for a competition. Yeah. I sat next or near a guy. It was a bigger guy, and we didn't speak the whole time. And then he messaged me on Instagram like a few days later and was like, yo, I think I sat next to you on a plane.
Wow.
I've been following One Bone, and I saw you on there. What are their shirts like? Like, do you like them?
Bro.
And I was like, dude, I love them. Like, straight up, like,
yeah,
they're awesome. I love them. Game changer. It, like, buy one.
Yeah.
Just try one. They have, like, a really good exchange policy.
Yeah, yeah,
if you don't like it, send it back.
Yeah.
Like, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, cool, I will. Right? And then he ended up buying one, and he told me. He was like, man, this is sick. Like,
yes.
And it's amazing. Funny because I remember sitting next to him, and he was just wearing a boxy T-shirt. And
yeah.
I was like, man, I want to suggest One Bone to him, but I don't want to be like, hey, you look like shit.
Yeah.
Wear One Bone, yeah, right? Yeah, but yeah. I want, like, I still haven't figured out how to
approach.
Suggest it.
Because yeah,
I see so many guys like dressing the way I was.
Of course.
That just don't know.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be like, you look like shit,
yeah,
dude. Yeah. But
bro, you look fatter than
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But
you can look a lot better. Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to
just
help
steer
you.
Steer it all towards the T-shirt. Hey, your T-shirt's not working.
Yeah. Yeah.
You probably have trouble finding
yeah.
the right T-shirt.
Yeah. It's yeah, funny because yeah. that same guy, yeah. I was trying to figure out a polite way the entire flight to be like, you should
yeah,
try
yeah,
this
yeah.
shirt. And then for him to message me, find me on Instagram,
that's
message
so
me a few
crazy.
Days later and
yeah,
be like, yo, what, I've been following One Bone. I've been thinking about pulling the trig. Like, what do you think? Blah,
yeah.
blah. It's cool. So the One Bone like community and brotherhood, I think, is like alive and well.
Yeah.
Big time. Because anytime I see someone wearing One Bone, I'm like, yo, what's up? And people like reach out to me and they're like, man, you're the guy. Like, you're in One Bone. Like,
yeah.
Man, I feel like I do a lot of customer service for One Bone. Because yeah. I get people that are like, well, what shirt, what
yeah.
size do I get? Blah, blah, blah. They reach out to me and I, you know, I start telling them. But,
yeah.
Yeah, man, it's definitely a brotherhood.
Yeah, yeah. I remember I was my wife was pregnant at the time, and we were going for a doctor's appointment. I see this big fella, you
yeah.
know, across the way from me, and he's sitting down, so I couldn't see. I was like, guy actually looks pretty good, you know, maybe he whatever, wearing a black T-shirt. I'm like, he got some J's on, whatever.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I'm like, yo, I think you should check out. I have a clothing line. You should check it out. He's like, bro. Boom. And he was wearing One Bone.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yes. You know,
yeah.
Like, how does
sick.
It feel? He's like, yo, I changed my whole closet. It's
yeah.
over. You know, like it's just so cool. It's happening more and more. People are at concerts. Like you said, people are at sporting events. Like it's really like starting to bleed out.
We ran into someone at Carabana just
yeah,
wearing
yeah, yeah.
the tiger.
Yeah.
It was a whole conversation.
Bones
yeah.
in the wild.
Yeah. The guy had the
Bones
V2. He had the pants in his fanny pack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was crazy.
It was
yeah.
a hot day, but he was ready for anything.
Yeah, he was ready for anything.
Yeah.
Strapped.
Yeah, amazing.
Hey,
Matt,
big boys stay strapped.
How
yeah.
many 300 pounders can fit a pair of pants in a fanny pack?
Man,
you know?
I struggle with I used to struggle with packing because the clothes took up so much
yeah.
damn space in the.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to fit, yeah, that's sick. To fit a pair of pants in a
yeah.
fanny pack, man, you're doing it right.
Listen, Quinn, it was so awesome catching up. You've been back to Montreal a couple of times. We were going over it, you know, and you've seen the growth of One Bone.
Absolutely.
You're quite close to it. I would love for you to just, you know, if you were talking to somebody who has never tried One Bone, and you've given little sprinklings of how that would sound, but
yeah.
if you were talking to somebody who has never tried One Bone and has seen our ads and has been hesitant and I'm not going to spend this much on a shirt. What would you tell them?
Just do it. Like, again, it's, and like, it, we, like we talked about, like, oh, the, you know, they're just saying that he's paid to say it, or, you know, they're trying to sell T-shirts.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to say that. But like, genuinely coming from a guy that was like defeated in how to dress as a big guy and just accepted that until I lost weight or until I wasn't this big or until whatever, I was just going to be wearing the big, unappealing boxy T-shirts,
mm-hmm.
Whatever part of the deal, I got to shop at Big and Tall and wear outdated things. Like, just pull the trigger on One Bone. Like what you're doing, what you're probably doing now sucks. So like, if this doesn't work, you're still going to have that.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Like what's the worst thing that
there's
can happen?
There's no downside.
There's no downside.
Yeah.
Like, what's the worst thing that can happen is you buy a T-shirt, it doesn't work, and then you return it.
Yeah.
And you're still...
You were out a little bit of time.
Yeah, you're out a little bit of time and you tried it.
Yeah.
But like, I can almost guarantee you that you're going to put it on and have the same feeling that all of us talk about when you first put it on as
yeah.
a big guy. You're just going to be like, holy shit, this is how a shirt is supposed to feel.
Mm.
Or this is how a shirt feels. Like, this is sick, right? And you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and you're going to think, man, this is awesome. Yeah. And if you don't, I will be surprised.
Yeah. And then the other beauty is always like, this is the other cherry on top, is like, you look in the mirror and you look and feel a certain way now. Yeah. And then you go out.
And you carry yourself differently, man. Like, it's, you know, you go from, like, I noticed a lot in, like, body language and body posture. Like, I went from sitting like this, trying not to take up space. Like, I know I'm a big guy. Like, I don't want to be in your elbow room, blah, blah. And then you just feel confident. You're like, man.
Proud,
like,
to be the biggest.
Yeah, like, I'm a big guy. Yeah, I look good. Yeah, not look good for a big guy, but
I'm
I look good.
Very intimidated right now at the moment.
Peacock.
Yeah, no, I guess you're not necessarily peacocking, but you get more confident, you get more comfortable in your skin. Like, you know, build some charisma, you know, builds confidence. Like, it literally trickles into everything, man. It's awesome. And yeah, just pull trigger. Like, just pull trigger. Again, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Yeah. But I would be surprised if it doesn't. Genuinely surprised.
AP, you got anything else in the tank?
Oh, I'm good, man.
Yeah, man.
Wait, hold on. I got one last question.
All right.
So can you describe your pre, like, competition routine? Like, what do you have, like, a playlist? How do you get ready mentally?
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
So in weightlifting, there's always a session before me because I'm the last session.
Okay.
So there's a session, and then when they finish, we have some time in the back room, and then they do introductions. And then after introductions, the competition starts 10 minutes from there. So you have to kind of figure out where you're starting with the time, and you have to time your warm-ups appropriately. Like, usually an attempt every 2 minutes is normal. So I like to get in there and I roll out, I stretch, I warm up, put my shoes on. I have kind of like a routine for, like, warming up, but it's for, like, stretching, but it's generic, right? Yeah. And then I put my headphones in and I always listen to a song before I start. Just put a towel over my head.
Which song?
Man, I don't know if I... I don't know, man. Oh. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exclusive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exclusive.
Yeah. It's one that's near and dear to my heart, man.
Wow. So why the reluctance to reveal?
It gives superpowers, clearly.
Yeah, because I haven't told anyone, man. Wow. I haven't told anyone. All right. Wow. Okay, so it is Centuries by Fall Out Boy. And the reason I listen to this is because it was on a video for a hype-up video for Mount Allison football team for the very last game I played as a Mountie. It was the hype video for the Mitchell Bowl, in which we lost. And it was my last football game, like, ever. Because I went back to Winnipeg and got cut that year. So, and I remember going into that game feeling confident, but feeling like, oh, school was busy and I didn't have time to watch film, or, you know, I didn't do as much. And I felt like after that game, I was like, holy shit, I feel like I could have done a little bit more. And maybe we would have won. I feel like I could have prepared a little bit more. I feel like I left some out on the field. Like, there's still gas in the tank, right? So that song was on the hype video, and it's just like, it's always stuck with that. So I listen to that song, and I think, like, don't, like, remember that feeling. Don't have that feeling of after the comp feeling like there's something left in the tank. Like, walk away from the comp being like, yeah, I gave it all. Either went well or it didn't, but I sent it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's, it's pretty heavy, eh? Yeah, so that's the song. I listen to that once full through, put my towel on my head, headphones in, and then the headphones come out, and then I start warming up.
I don't know how many times you've been asked this question and reneged on giving the answer, or if it was just like a mental thing that you were like, nah, this is from me.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you for sharing that. I feel like that was a weird moment for you.
Yeah, it was, man. Well, I've never really been asked what song, right? It's like, it's a playlist, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, like, that is a song that I play. And I only ever listen to that song before I compete.
Wow. Yeah.
I feel like, again, everything happens for a reason. Yeah. And I don't know why, you know, this chat happened right now, and I don't know why this question happened right now, and I don't know why you revealed it right now, but everything happens for a reason.
Totally.
And I think that in itself is probably, in a weird way, a weight off your shoulders.
It is, but, like, man, I feel like I'm giving away the secrets. You know what I mean?
No, but so
it only applies to you, though.
Yeah,
no one can get power from that song the way you do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Totally. And not only that, but maybe now somebody else could put on that song and kind of relate to that, because like the next time I hear that song, it will give me a different motivation than I would have ever had.
For the first time so I hear that song.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, you never heard it?
Probably, but I don't, I can't.
Yeah. It's old. I'm sure you've heard it. It's just like a generic Fall Out Boy song. Yeah. And again, it has nothing to do with the song. It's just like that it was used in that hype video for that.
It's also an epic song.
It is a good song.
I don't know why my brain went to Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is all happening right now.
T-Swizzy.
But man, listen, thank you so much for sharing your whole story. And thank you so much for reaching out on that day.
Of course,
and thank you so much for just being an amazing ambassador of One Bone. And again, like the progress mentality, which is what an athlete needs, which is what somebody in business needs, which is what a family man needs, which is what any one of us need to continue, get stronger, be more confident, continue, get stronger, be more, and rinse and repeat. Again, you sharing your story and you being an ambassador of One Bone is hugely important to us, and I think to the community and One Bone fam, and so I really thank you.
Likewise, man. Thank you again. Thank you for all the support over the last few years, and honestly, man, thank you for just existing. Like the fact that I can wear a shirt and wear clothes and pants and a jacket and a bomber and a sweater and feel good in them, and B, like look good in them. It's like it's a game changer. So yeah, thank you for the support, but mainly thank you for existing.
Yeah,
like straight up.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Quinn Everett, if people wanted to find you, reach out, you know, if they heard the episode or whatever, or they want to ask you customer service questions about One Bone, where could they find you?
Instagram.
Yeah.
My handle, it's funny. It's it's a college nickname. Someone combined it, Quinn and Wang, and they thought it'd be funny. And it just stuck. So it's Quang with four G's and an underscore. It's like the worst handle ever.
So every time I'm trying to tag you, I'm like, is it 1G, 3G, 4G?
Yeah. I thought about switching it, and I'm just like, nah, I'm leaning into it. So it's at Quang with 4Gs underscore.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know the drill, onebone.com. Get all the new gear there. Hit us up on socials at OneBone Brand. Today, Quinn is rocking a pocket tee, standard, one of your favorites, one of your go-tos. The Everywhere Pants V1, and he's about to try on V2.
Hell yeah.
V2s are a game changer. They're stretchier. They're fitted a bit differently and just way more technical as well. I'm rocking some vintage pieces. I got a Blackout Geo short that you actually
have those
modeled on the website. That's the reason why I wore the shorts. You can't see them, but you know.
You can see my knee.
And I got the tropical tie-dye on right now, which is sold out, but we've got some tie-dye tricks up our sleeve. Coming soon.
Nice.
Quinn may have gotten a little sneak peek.
Maybe.
Maybe you're going to get a sneak peek soon. We appreciate you. That's the biggest podcast. Peace.
Thank you.